Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for episode 8 coverage of The Challenge, season 37, Spies, Lies, and Allies. I say episode 8 very enthusiastically because I know what episode we're on today, so I'm going to lead with it. We are back, very excited for another episode here. Of course, I am Matt alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how's it going?
Hello, hello. I am of two minds. You know what? Something finally shook up on this season, so I am excited about that. I don't feel like this was the most exciting episode in the world, and being that we are a number of days recording after the episode, it's, you know, emotions are not as high as usual, but I am excited to talk about where the season may be going, in addition to what happened this time.
You tell me, where is it going? I mean, yeah, so we're a couple days late here. Sorry if anyone even noticed, but better late than never. So we were able to get together, found a time this week. Yeah, so I guess we could just kind of lead with this because you were already talking about it there. And it's obviously like the main headline here. At the very end of this episode, we're going to see that the Vet Alliance is going forward now going to have to pick at each other. So we'll go backwards, I guess, into this episode and how we got here. But I feel slash felt like an idiot for, you know, since Wednesday, because I'm sitting here thinking like, how is this the way, like, how did Priscilla do this in a way like that it wasn't possible before? And I'm not about to sit here and go through like the chart of like who was together last time. So I'm really like, I'm just taking all of them at their words that this is something that could not have been, or that I don't know, that Priscilla broke the game open and here we are.
It definitely could have been done before. There's numerous opportunities at any point since the first elimination basically had people gone ahead and picked Kyle and Amanda as their partners rather than picking other vets who have rookie partners, thus forcing rookies to go together, then we would have cut down on, if not completely excluded, having any rookie teams in the game, thus forcing this a lot earlier. But no, it was, as we saw, seemed like there were some threats made. I don't know how prevalent those have been throughout the season to ensure that the rookies kept picking people to ensure rookie teams form after each elimination, but it finally stopped working at least this week.
Well, so that's the thing, and like I hate to admit this on a podcast where I'm supposed to talk about the challenge, you know, and sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I guess I had never realized how easy it could have been to make this stop. Yeah. And like Devin and Kyle at the beginning of the episode talking about like, I can't believe the rookies haven't caught on to this yet. Like, they're so dumb. Like, how are they so dumb? And I mean, I was like, well, I think they know what's happening. Like, I think they get that there's an alliance here. But I hate to admit it, but I guess I didn't realize that it was possible that somebody could have broken that up earlier. I just assumed it, for whatever reason, that it was not going to be easy.
Yeah, I think the tough part was we didn't really have all the information in terms of people making it clear that if you do not pick partners that are going to benefit the Vet Alliance, then we're going to shame you. But it has, you know, reared its head here, which makes it ultimately a lot easier to see. Had realized it, but did not really think about, like, I guess the pressures that were put on the previous elimination winners. That being said, I am sort of giving a side eye to, like, Corey and Michelle, two people that I have faith in being able to figure this out, and other previous elimination winners who seem to have a good head on their shoulders of, like, why didn't you do this? I guess Corey and Michelle's was the first one, but, like, there were so many opportunities.
Yeah, so I mean, I had the chart open. I'm going to go back to it now of, you know, who has won eliminations and had the opportunity to take a partner. So Corey and Michelle. Corey, this is episode one. We're going back. Corey took Tori and Michelle took Devin. So that left Kels and Tracy together. In the next one, we had Ed and Emmy won the elimination, who took Tori and Devin.
So, and I have no faith in them.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, going all along that, like, all of these rookies were taking partners that they thought would benefit them in the game from, like, you know, I'm taking Devin because he is one of the most well-connected vets and I want him as my teammate. So you understand why they're picking them from that perspective. But when you see Priscilla do this move of ripping apart a vet-vet pair, which, like you said, could have been done with Kyle and Amanda, it's like, oh, yeah, there is a way you could leave a vet exposed and they would have to take a rookie, most likely, if you play everything right. Like,
yeah.
So here we are.
I think it was hard because in the beginning, obviously the rookies were not looking out for each other. And so it's hard to go ahead and put yourself in the spotlight. Like if Corey and Michelle go ahead and pick Kyle and Amanda in that first week, then everyone's on like a level playing field. And the winners of the challenge, if it's not Corey or Michelle, are can very easily just throw both of them back in there that next time, since, you know, spotlight's on them. But at this, like, what position were you really in better? I'd be curious how they would have picked had they won their second elimination, if they would have tried to make a bigger move like that. But it just seemed like every rookie on this season, for the most part, really was trying to shelter themselves under the Vet Alliance in hopes that like they would just be the last one standing and they would get forgotten about, rather than actually trying to make a move to better themselves. Like, let me shrink down as much as possible so you forget I'm here.
Right. It is pretty alarming how many rookies are out of the game at this point.
Oh my god.
The graphic of, like, you know, the rookies that enter the game and the vets that enter the game. There's three vets that have gone home, all for very unique reasons. Fessy for fighting, Anissa for an injury, and Nam for, you know, potentially being sick or whatever happened there. And then on the rookie side, obviously, like, most of the board is wiped out. Again, looking at the Wikipedia page, and who's left? We have, on the guys' side, we have Ed, Emmanuel, and Jeremiah, and Logan. So four rookie guys. And then on the women's side, Bettina and Priscilla. And again, it started with a lot more people.
And Emmy, but yeah.
Oh, Emmy. Sorry. Started the great Emmy, who I already feel like is a vet, so I just skipped right over her name.
That is fair. The respect has been given. But also, she was, because at one point I was like, wait, why isn't Emmy? Oh, yeah, she won the challenge. So, like, right. There are points where I was forgetting that she was in the mix because of that. But yeah, just to see how few rookies we are down to is disappointing. And I don't feel like some of the ones that we have left are maybe some of the more boring rookies, Logan and Jeremiah. But exactly. So that is kind of where we're at here. Fortunately, it seems like, you know, we're going to end up with one whole veteran in the elimination next week, probably with three rookies, but like, I'll take it. I will take the one.
Yeah. And I do want to talk about, like, you know, where we think these vets sit going into next week. Maybe we'll save that for the end and, you know, speculate as we go forward. But yeah, so to back up into this episode, obviously this is all about how, Bernie, who's Bernie? Berna and Huey combined apparently are Bernie. Berna and Huey are going to end up going home here as the seemingly for now last rookie team that are able to be thrown in and gonna, you know, follow all of their other rookie partners out the door here. So goodbye to these two.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye indeed. I'm not sad to see them go. We'll talk about them more at the end of the episode, but yeah, Amber, you probably, I don't think as enthusiastic as me, actually, to be honest. Wow. But Amber had quite the interest in making sure that Berna specifically was going home, whereas I was glad to see Berna go, but it was the other half of the pair that I was even happier to see.
Yeah, the dynamic here with everything happening was, as far as Berna goes, like, the whole story, for at least since last week, has been, you know, she is upset with Emmy because Emmy betrayed her and took Uncle CT when she said that she wasn't going to. And then, you know, while Berna's explaining how upset she is about that and Nelson's trying to console her, we're going to see Amber chime in because Amber doesn't like Berna, and, you know, tie this in with the whole, obviously these people all see who each other's voting for because they're sitting right next to each other. So Josh saw that Berna voted for him, for Devin, and then Devin and Amber now upset, blah, 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 blah. So Amber really worked herself into this whole storyline, you know, wanting Berna to go. And it just seems like the rest of the house has no great feelings towards Berna. I think there was, like, definitely some revisionist history, it sounds like, on these podcasts and the after shows about, like, oh no, I liked Berna, because it seemed like not a single person liked her while they were there. And she was just, you know, just always going to be somebody that was at the bottom of the totem pole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It, first of all, was surprised that they acknowledged that the voting system, which we have criticized in the past, really
is in fact awful.
Yeah, it's so bad. Production like allowed it to be acknowledged on television, where it's like, yeah, it's supposed to be secret, but you can see how everyone's voting. Like, it's really easy. It's not hard at all. So that clearly came up as a discussion point this week when Nelson is confronting Emmy about lying to Berna. So there's the one person that likes Berna in Nelson, but mm-hmm. I love how he decides to get involved. It was like, well, why would you just lie to her? At which he drops very quickly as soon as confronted with finding out that Berna had actually voted for Devin in this past week's deliberation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, how many seasons in are we with Nelson, and it's still like the storyline's coming for him off the back of a rookie. Like, it's a little sad, but
it was, you know, just so funny that he was like, they were like, yeah, well, actually, Berna voted for me, Nelson. And he was like, you know what? I actually don't even care. I wasn't even involved. Like, he dropped it so quick. It was really funny to see the 180 from Nelson. Strategy, not his strong point all the time.
Yeah, and he tries to go to Emmy and be like, so why'd you have to do that to her? Like, I don't really understand. And Emmy's like, who are you again? Like, essentially. So truly, not a single person cared about, you know, where Berna's fate in the game was going, besides people that, you know, obviously wanted her out. Apparently she'd been rubbing people the wrong way, but so is Amber, as Amanda's going to tell us later. So, you know, we'll get to more of that. But yeah, so that's the deal there. And as far as Huey goes, it seems like his story is essentially, you know, nothing much left here. He's going to have a confessional later in the episode when, after him and Berna get voted in, and he's talking to Devin a little bit about how he wants to have a kid someday, and, you know, this money will help him go towards that. But his story was pretty much over, I think, after the Corey elimination. It was just, you know, the fire within this character that obviously, you know, as we've talked about previously, neither of us, or not most people, are currently standing, but yeah, not much left here.
Currently, previously, at any time, will not be. But yeah, Huey has whatever problems on the outside that have disqualified for him as someone that I would be liking or rooting for. But yeah, he has pretty much disappeared from this story of the season since Corey has gone home. He's been like a loud character, but like, I don't really feel as if he has had his own storyline. There was a little bit of like him and Emmy can't work together, but nothing really major.
Yeah, no, there was really not a whole lot there. And I gotta say, I'd be surprised if we see him again, but it's also MTV, so I'm really not surprised if we see him again. You know, they can very easily, and have very easily, just kind of overlooked things for the sake of having somebody back on the show that they want to have back. So
I can't imagine we get him back. And I was coming close to thinking that he was a lock previous to, like, based only on the things in the episodes. And then once stuff came out online, I was like, oh, I don't see how he comes back from this. Yeah. So I would be surprised and very annoyed to see him back, frankly.
Yeah. Not really needed. I guess, again, like I said, there's not a whole lot to talk about with him. So next time we bring him up, we'll probably be with the elimination. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the challenge, a couple of little cute segments here. Well, I'm talking about the Bettina and Priscilla check-in. I thought that that was my favorite one of all of this. As that came out of my mouth.
I was waiting for some cute segments. So everyone's skinny dipping in the pool. No.
I guess that's cute too. Okay, so you want to talk about the skinny dipping?
I don't care. It really led only. It was a tool to get us to talk about Emmanuel and Tori, who seem to be being pushed together in the edit a little more here.
And I get what Tori's saying, and I've gotten that since the preview podcast that we did, that I was sharing similar sentiments, but here we are. Yeah. Some skinny dipping action in the challenge house. Emmanuel did not join them for that, but he did jump in the pool once or twice and was looking like he was getting very close to joining them for the full on activity there, but he didn't. And Tori confirmed that on her podcast with Anissa, saying that no, he did not get naked and jump in the pool. So sorry to everybody.
Emmanuel. See, no, you keep your distance or join in. That's the line.
Tori was like, yeah, like, because obviously, like, they're both kind of crushing on each other or whatever. And Tori was like, when he, like, came close to the pool and, like, then he came in with the goggles, she was like, I was sweating. Like, I was like, because I don't know, whatever they're exact deal is, but I was like, oh, that's kind of, if I didn't have this distaste I have towards Tori at the moment, I would think, oh, that's kind of cute, these two.
Yeah, we'll see how it develops. I am not particularly shipping, still Team Michelle.
No.
when it comes to Emmanuel, but I am, you know what? Like I've said, we were rooting for them to actually show relationships and hookups on the show, and I'm glad that they are leaning more in that direction, whoever it ends up being.
Right. The actual cute segment here that I was hoping to get to was the Bettina and Priscilla of it all, because Bettina has just been a delight. She hasn't really been a prominent character by any means, but I feel like anytime that she's on screen, it's just like enjoyable for the most part. It's really not giving much, but it's giving enough for me. So I thought these two were, you know, I like this little strategy check-in where obviously it's kind of setting up for us that Priscilla is paying attention and hoping she can do something to change up the game.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Bettina has been doe-eyed both literally and figuratively, just like batting her eyelashes like, oh, I'm so hoping that we could be saved here. And I like her and Priscilla. Not that I feel like we've gotten anything flagged up about their friendship before, but as for this one little episode storyline, I thought it was cute. There are scenes together.
Mm-hmm. And later on when the three of them, the two of them and Berna are like in the bedroom, just like sharing one last rookie hug before we were going to get to the elimination. It was just giving like last season, little Amber and all the other rookies from last season mm-hmm. that I've already forgotten their names.
Oh no.
Gabby.
Yes.
And
I mean, you're really thinking about Amber and Big T are really the
Amber B was in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was pretty much it for the itty bitty committee, I believe.
I feel like there was another one, but
who would we be forgetting?
I don't know. Okay. Anything else before the challenge itself from back of the house?
Nope.
No. So after the challenge, I really don't have anything for the challenge. I just can't sit here and recap another, do a puzzle and the bomb goes off. I just can't do it anymore.
What do I have to say about the challenge? Those water jets, they called them. Those look like fun. If someone knows where to get a cheap one, I'll take one. I would like that. Mm-hmm. How much money did they waste on the yacht? Because it was unnecessary and I didn't care that it was there. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremiah, really a theme of this episode, and I think it may have even been touched on a little last episode. It's like, I really just got to get away from Big T. Like, I love her, but she's not good at the challenges. Also something that Tommy was really harping on earlier this season. It's like, Big T was the only woman to attempt the climbing up the yacht to get the wires, I believe, as far as I remember. So like, good on her for trying. She almost got it, and so that was the time waster, was like deciding that Big T was gonna have to do 2/3 of the trips out there rather than Jeremiah. So I don't know how you can really say that she's all that weak when she was doing more than any other woman on this particular episode, it seemed.
It's just like annoying, the narrative that exists around Big T that's existed for like 3 seasons now, especially last mm-hmm. season, especially, you know, happening here again this season. She's surrounded by a lot of other, you know, like really strong women that are like Ashley and people that you can just like mm-hmm. look at them at Tori and you're like, oh, this person's a beast. And Big T, just on, you know, first impressions or just by looking at her, you don't get the same thing. But when you watch her prove herself like time and time again, I don't know why she still has to deal with people talking about her in this way, but you know, that's why you have us.
She'll get there.
Spread the good word.
She'll get there, and it would bother me less if it wasn't coming from like Tommy and Jeremiah, like two rookies that I've seen do absolutely nothing on the show so far. So like, all right, you've won one elimination now so far, like congrats, but otherwise, like I need to see more before I am convinced that you were just being so dragged down by Big T, god forbid.
I wish there was like a Big T confessional at the end of this current episode being like, thank God Jeremiah is like not my partner anymore. He was so boring.
I mean, hey, I think that she is much better set up by the end of the episode. So,
yeah, I would agree. And so this challenge itself, like I said, just getting puzzle pieces and setting off a bomb just like they do in every single other challenge. And when it comes down to a puzzle, you know who's going to do well, and it's exactly who does do well. You had Devin and Amber won the first heat. You had Ashley carrying the way with her and Josh in the second heat, and then CT, who you know, lives and breathes challenge puzzles, takes the win in the third heat, and then CT and Emmy obviously go on to get the overall win, which, you know, sent Emmy into tears, which was adorable.
Yeah, big fan. I like this pairing a lot. I am ready to stan. I am hoping that they stick together for a little while and can avoid being targeted too early, but very happy for them to at least get their win here.
Yeah, and I don't know. Did you have any bit of like, oh, wow, wait, maybe Berna and Huey actually can win this one? Everyone's saying it like they're really doing well.
No. Like, that was never happening.
They really wanted us to think it might.
Yeah, they've really wanted us to think that for every single episode. Like, yeah. Oh, the only rookie team might beat they the 11 other teams here to do it. They might do it. Like, right. Stop. I don't care. You're lying.
No. So obviously that didn't happen. CT, the Puzzle King, goes on to defend his title. And yeah, so a big win for those two. And obviously this is Berna's worst nightmare. CT doesn't seem to feel too bad for her because he's like, she did this to herself. But I mean, there was definitely, they were trying to let us know that the connection between Berna and CT had left an impact on Berna. Like, well, I don't know if it was the connection or just like working together. Like, Berna seemed to really enjoy having CT as a partner, which obviously contributed to the way that she felt the betrayal from Emmy when Emmy took him. So all of that was, you know, kind of in the background of, you know, the Berna and Emmy of it all, or the Berna and Amber of it all. So it's kind of cold to hear CC just be like, yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, as I think we've spoken about, like, CT likes to be in control of his partnership, and Berna was not going to let that happen. She made moves outside of just letting him run things. And I think that Emmy is much more suited to what CT is looking for in a partner.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. When we get to the night out here, and they're going to go party it up in whatever COVID bubble place that they've been partying it up in, we get a storyline that I didn't expect, but our defending champ wants to go into elimination.
Okay, is this motivated only by wanting to send Berna home? Is it trying to help out her fling of the season, Jeremiah? Like, I was blindsided. Obviously a bad move, like, unquestionably dumb, but mm-hmm. Was it exclusively to rub it in Berna's face that specifically she sent her home?
Probably. I mean, it definitely seemed like she'd been drinking a little bit, right? That's why Josh and Casey were like, you should think about this overnight and get back to us in the morning. And I don't remember if it was talked about in the after show or maybe just in the episode and I'm mixing things up, but people were like, yeah, she was not really in the best state of mind to be like making a decision mm-hmm. like that. So I mean, the way that she's like sitting there and generally, like, I love this energy, you know, when Ashley does it, you know, talking about how, like, you know, she's the champ and she's, you know, she's the best, she's the greatest. Like, anytime that they're going to that at least, I don't know. I like it when the women do this. If the guys did this, I'd probably be, you know, unaliving myself. But when Amber does it or when Ashley does it, I'm like, yes, like, tell them you're the champ and you can go in there and you can win this. But also, like you said, it's a stupid idea, a stupid move. So
yeah,
I'm kind of battling with the two of those things while Amber is running this idea past them.
See, I was more like, I was standing Ashley when she's throwing herself into elimination as like, I am going to throw this and take you down with me. Like, that is where I'm standing. Right. Like, self-aware queen who knows what the motivation is and like is not scared to go through with it. The like, I'm going to go in there because I'm good and I'm going to win. It's like, no, I'm going to stay out because I'm better than that. And I'm going to like make it further without having to put in any work in. So like, yeah, happy when you win an elimination, but I would rather the self-awareness to know that like, this is not a good move.
And it just feels like Amber also kind of is like, I feel like she, in her mind, feels like she won an elimination against Fessy. Like, she feels like Fessy, like, she sent him home, essentially. I mean, long story short, she is now still in the game, and he's not. And yeah, that's somebody she was really, you know, opposed against in this season. So, he's gone, and that's a big win for her in the first place. She's, you know, obviously coming in defending champ from last season. This season is just, as we've said a couple times, like, all about just kind of, like, making it onto a third season. Just, like, who cares how she finishes, but make an impact and, you know, make sure that the producers want to bring you back again because you've shown enough on that end of things. Mm-hmm. And she's definitely trying for that, so...
I think she's succeeding, to be honest. So yeah. I am not hating her gameplay this season. I don't think that ultimately throwing herself in is a necessary part of that. But she is still saying on social media, the only reason she did not go in was that CT said this is not good for all of our collective games right now. So no, I will not be throwing you in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if CT throws in Amber goes home. That's one champ out, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, let's get the champs out. So, mm-hmm, and then yeah. We go through that whole cycle again, and that's, you know, obviously not good for him. So,
mm-hmm. So
there's that. When we get to the nominations, we're going to see that obviously, again, Berna and Huey are going to be the ones that are picked here. But again, a lot of this doesn't really have to do with Huey. It's more so about Berna, who is going to talk even more about how upset she is. And Amber jumps in as well here. So just more mess that Amanda was obviously living for.
Mm-hmm. I really liked Priscilla, like, innocently bringing up that, like, oh, wasn't there someone here? Oh, Amber, didn't you say something about maybe wanting to go in? Was that you? Like, everyone sees through it, but, like, I liked the attempt.
Yeah, and also, like, how did she find out about that? I mean, I guess word just spread? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Nothing is a secret in that house. I cannot imagine.
I guess, but, like, it was...
It's to the point. They are constantly, like... If the rookies figure this out, when we'll have conversations of, like, maybe I forget who exactly, but, like, Josh and Amber sitting there and they're like, yeah, so we're in a really good spot because all of the rookies are too dumb to, like, do anything about it. And they pan over and it's like six rookies in a row sitting next to them, like, just listening to them have this conversation about how all the vets are in the best spot in the world and the rookies are too stupid to do anything. It's like they're having this conversation openly in front of them.
Yeah.
So I don't think anything is really needs to be on the down low this season. No one is, you know, really challenging anything. So it's I think that Amber's attempt really spread throughout the house quickly.
Well, not anymore, because Priscilla's wide awake here, as she has been at least for this entire episode from start to finish. And, you know, she really does get kind of kicked into high gear here after she hears what Ashley has to say, saying, you know, if you do anything that's going to ruin a vet's team's chances, everyone's going to be coming for you. And Priscilla took that to be a, like, personally directed threat or just one towards every rookie in the game. She didn't really appreciate that. And I mean, later on, Ashley's like, well, I was just trying to help you. And I was like, I mean, maybe.
No, she wasn't. Like, stop. And that's the thing is, like, I still, like, big Ashley fan in general, but, like, Ashley has been mostly pretty insufferable on this season for me. Including this, I have found it, like, very annoying where Tori was like, well, you know, the rookies could really just, like, take this all down by not picking someone that's paired with a rookie, like, a wink wink. And so, like, why, Tori, why are you saying that, first of all? Like, are you sucking up to production? But then Ashley, like, feeling the need to then come back at, like, well, if you do that, you're screwing yourself and everyone here is going to be against you. It's like, all right, like, calm down. Like, that is almost, like, to me, like, you're really bordering on, like, bullying tactics at that point. And, like, not loving. Kyle also jumps in, like, reiterating, like, you're going to take the full blame. Like, I'm very petty, and, like, I agree with Priscilla, like, that would make me want to get revenge on you. Like, if I am going to be out next week, like, regardless of who I pick, then, like, I'll screw you while I'm going down.
Yeah, it makes me kind of sad, but I feel like Ashley, in a way, has kind of, like, lost her place in this game, in this world, in this, just in this challenge universe. Like, after going out, you know, early, like, two times in a row, it could have been three, I stopped counting, it's just, and you know, she's back with Amanda here, so, like, that's great and all, but, like, the game has continued to be played and evolved, and a lot of, like, relationships have continued growing around her, and it's hard to see, at least from, like, just watching the show perspective, of, like, where her ties are with a lot of the other vets, and I guess we're going to be talking about it soon, of, like, who is kind of on the outs as we go forward. I'm I mean, it's I'm sad to say it, and you know, I don't want it to be true, but it does feel like Ashley's going to be on the outer perimeter of the Vet Alliance, just from, again, looking at it from a big overall perspective. A lot of these other people just kind of have become closer over the past few years from what we can tell. So I feel like in general, she's kind of like lost exactly what made her in her first couple of seasons, like, you know, be Millionaire Mitchell and be the person that, like, we love so much. So I'm not agreeing with what you said, because I'm not going to say that Ashley is insufferable ever. You'll never hear me say that, but but yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, she's not doing herself any favors though either. Like, when you know, Big T's name came up when Tori was in power, and Ashley like goes out of her way to just be like, "Well, you voted for me last season too." It's like, Ashley, everyone did. Like, you were dead to rights. Like, she didn't vote for you the first time, so like, consider yourself lucky there. It's like the one person outside of Amanda who like might have felt any loyalty towards her. Like, she feels like she needs to get a jab in. Like, maybe not the best strategy. So I get that. Like, that's Ashley's persona, but like, you're in a rebuilding stage at the same time right now. So like, be that like witty, sarcastic, and like cutting self with like the rookies who are going home. Don't do that with people who are going to be here for half the season.
Yeah. So that's that for the nominations. And I don't have anything else, because we already kind of talked about the Huey segment with Devin. So I guess, unless you do have anything else, we get to the elimination. Berna and Huey versus CT and Emery are going to pick Jeremiah and Priscilla to go down and play this elimination that definitely looked new to me.
Yeah, and I like this elimination. I don't know how many times I want to see it back, but I thought it was fun. Definitely better than the main challenge for the week.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was obviously, you know, super heavy on like having to work together, which I would say like most of them have been, but like this one, like, you need to be in sync, you need to be communicating, you need to have a small butt, and you know, if you're gonna make it to the top and cut the rope.
See, I know that the hashtag disaster really got flagged up, but Huey was trying to use the front of his feet when clearly you should just be walking up this thing backwards. I like that this was like physical, but not like disqualifying for like any person on the show in any way. I really feel like pretty much any matchup could be, you know, have a decent chance. And I thought that like it was visually interesting and like a pretty fair elimination, so I was two thumbs up on this one.
It's just very funny that like when we did our preview, cast previews, and it's like, we have no idea about anything of these rookies, but like, here's Huey. I mean, you kind of knew a little bit more about Huey, but I was like, all I know is that he's on Instagram and has a really big bum, so that's yep. And that's what ultimately is his you know, according to the show, his downfall in this season, sending both him and Berna home.
Yeah, but it's just like, you are back to back and he's trying to like turn his feet around and walk up on the front. Like, how? So I think that this is squarely on Huey's shoulders or butt cheeks that they are going home. But yeah, which, not a great performance here.
Super sucks for Berna, because she is definitely a strong as hell competitor. And if she hadn't been attached to Huey here, I think, you know, wins this elimination. If this is any kind of individual elimination, I mean, we saw how, you know, she did against Tatcha earlier in the season, and I feel like she would do just as well in most eliminations that she would go in on her own, but that is not the format of this season. So, you know, she wouldn't be, she's by no means the first strong player to go home attached to a weaker partner. This is just how her first season is going to end. And it's hard to say, I would say, 'cause we already talked about Huey and his chances to come back. Berna, I feel like, definitely could come back and probably will, but I really don't know. I don't know where to go with this one.
Yeah. I don't know with Berna. I feel like it's a complete 50-50. Like, I guess she's had like enough of her own storyline with Nelson. She has like been a solid competitor. She gets in a lot of drama. So I think that Berna is decently likely to come back, but I'm around 50-50. I think maybe once we lose like all but one or two, or we get towards the end of the season, we can draft which rookies we think are going to end up coming back as we get a little further away from most of their eliminations. But I would be not super surprised to see her back.
Yeah, I mean, from the women rookies on this season, I mean, Emmy, we'll see her back next season and the season after, you know, if all cards play right. And I think Priscilla definitely made it her case in this episode here, regardless of how things play out the rest of the way. So, I mean, there's going to be spots available, but I do think that, you know, she's going to not be in the top two, maybe top three on the list.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So that's how Burna's season is going to end. But after her and Huey are going to head out, we're going to see the partner selection process, which Priscilla was very excited for because she does have big plans here for herself.
Mm-hmm. And Priscilla steals Josh. Now, mm-hmm. I am petty. Is it worth picking Josh?
Yes.
I'm teasing, but no, I actually, hey, again, I currently like Josh on the record.
Oh my goodness.
But I know it's wild. I currently like Josh, and that is, like, I am happy to say that I still think Josh is, like, a fine pick. I think Josh is set up well enough socially that Priscilla is not going to get voted down with him at this point. But I'm almost like, it was trying to get Jeremiah to steal Ashley in hopes that, like, they would get voted down, and then, like, stealing Kyle, who also was, like, throwing some threats, and splitting up another vet team, the move, like, any of those are on the table, so that, like, Josh and Amanda, who are not throwing the threats around as much, at least that what we saw, like, they don't get screwed and they just get paired up. But you know what, it's a fine move. I agree with being petty, so I understand wanting Ashley now to end up in a rookie vet pair and being a little more at risk.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, her partner's Ed, who seems perfectly good as a competitor. So it's not like, you know, she's super, you know, as far as, like, you know, abilities to win a challenge or win an elimination if they were thrown in together. Like, I'm not, you know, worried about Ed being her partner, but obviously mm-hmm. having Josh by her side, she was in a better position. So, yeah, Priscilla did take a bit of a, you know, shot here towards Ashley, along with being the shot that breaks the vet's game wide open. And now going forward, as we already talked about, a vet will definitely have to go into an elimination next week, and one will go home unless they change the format on us, which is not beyond the realm of possibility as far as, I mean, we're 8 weeks into the season. Like, a change up has to be coming eventually.
If they're like, well, actually, now it's only men's and women's days, so it's like only the rookies go in on, like, their days. Like, I would cry.
I just don't feel like it's out of the realm of possibility. I feel like we're on episode 8. We still, like, we have just under, I think, like, half the cast has been sent home, and obviously we have, what, like, 19 episodes in the season, so they're gonna have to slow things down eventually. They can't keep sending two people home.
If there is no vet in an elimination next week, find a sub. I'm out. Like, I'm not, I'll need to mourn the week, but I really will just be very upset. But I don't know. It is going to be interesting to see moving forward. I feel like Ashley really was genuinely steamed here, because she comes down and just looks so mad, rather than, like, come down with, like, that, like, boss energy. Like, you know what? Like, oh, you tried to screw me. Like, I'm fine. Like, you're just, like, sealed your fate. Don't, like, she was so mad she didn't even, like, acknowledge Ed.
I couldn't tell, like, what this was from Ashley. If it was just, like, genuine, like, she was that upset or annoyed or whatever it was, or if it was, like, her trying to play a better game when she gets to this point than she generally might. Because most times, 9 out of 10 times, when somebody does something like this to Ashley and tries to get her riled up, Ashley's going to do what you would expect Ashley to do and have that reaction. Mm-hmm. But here, she stayed quiet. She didn't make a big spectacle of it. She was fuming in the confessional, and she was obviously annoyed. But instead of, like, blowing things up and putting even more attention on herself, she just kept quiet. And I was like, if this is intentional, which it seems, I mean, it's definitely, you know, Ashley's a very smart person. Then that's definitely the way to go about this, and not making it as big of a deal as Priscilla was probably expecting Ashley would.
Sure. This is better, like, infinitely better than, like, popping off. But I think there is a happy medium where, like, you can be snarky and, like, a little rude to Priscilla and, like, you know, make comments where, like, not, like, popping off. And that's more of what I was expecting.
I feel like if she said anything snarky, it would have just been at the expense of Josh. Like, oh, you took Josh?
Oh, no. We like Josh now.
You like Josh.
Oh, okay.
I'm definitely not as on board as you are. I'm not like not on board, but definitely not at the level like, you seem to be at.
Like is a strong word, and I'm looking around at my other options and accepting my fate.
All right, well, I still see Devin and Kyle, so I'm good for now.
We'll see.
So are we at the point where we talk about who's in trouble? Who's in trouble going forward?
Yeah, we can. I would say, what did you think of Jeremiah picking Tori, the right move here, or, you know, kind of not a big difference between Tori, Casey, or anyone else?
Not a huge difference, but not a bad decision. I mean, it's just kind of like, okay, cool at this point. Like, yeah. Which kind of like leads into the next part of the conversation of like who is like the main core of this Vet Alliance. And I do feel like we're looking at the Casey and Nannies that are involved in there, and Tori, and I still feel like Ashley and Amanda are like grouped in with that, but it does feel like they're going to be on the farther end of things mm-hmm. when it comes to that. So I feel like Tori is a perfectly fine pick. You know, it's not shaking up anything with like a pairing that was already like super strong, like we saw last week that who was it that didn't want to take Emmanuel from Casey? Who won last week? No, did that happen last week? Was that anytime? What am I thinking of?
I have no clue.
or no, I don't know what I'm thinking of. Maybe I'm thinking of like weeks ago, but I feel like there was a time recently where there was a possibility Emmy and Casey were Emmanuel and Casey were going to be split up, and it ended up not happening because they're such like a good team. And I don't know. But okay. Anyway,
I think that was when Logan won, and then also this week a little bit.
Maybe that just feels like it was like 7 weeks ago, but
I don't know. It was. So, you know,
I don't know why it's like top of mind for me, but it's
so
fine.
Long.
So yeah, I think it was a fine pick for Jeremiah, and obviously Priscilla, we talked about this to death. So that's mm-hmm. that. Anything from you on that?
No, I would say the only other team that got formed this week, and we're moving into talking about who's in a good position, I think Big T's stock raised immensely getting paired with Nelson versus mm-hmm. Staying with Jeremiah. I think that Big T really could have found herself as one of the first names to come up in the Vet Alliance. And I think suddenly being paired with Nelson, she has just entered, like, at least on the house vote, like, very unlikely to go in, I think, at this point.
Right. How do I find on this? I've had the wiki open this entire episode, and I don't think I can close it anytime soon. It's been a huge help here. So I want to like throw out like a random scenario here, and let's say like, okay, so here's the example. Just because it would benefit my draft team, let's say that Emmanuel and Casey are the winners of next week's challenge. Mm-hmm. Who's in elimination next week?
Ooh. See, so do you want to talk about the preview?
I didn't expect that you had watched it, but sure.
I caught the first 5 seconds of it, which I feel like probably was, you know, the main theme, which is Devin wanting to target the previous winners, which I think is an interesting move for him to be taking, considering that he is paired up with one. but yeah, it seems like Ashley is definitely a name that's going to come up. CT, a name that deservedly will be coming up as the biggest threat on the men's side by far, mm-hmm. I would say at this point. So definitely like a good thought there. But if I'm really looking at these pairs, like I can really see Ashley's name coming next week. I don't feel like Casey, yeah. like in that specific scenario, like are Casey and Ashley particularly close? Like Amanda set up with Kyle, which I think is going to help her. But otherwise, I really don't think Ashley is like someone that everyone is like so worried about being close to.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so it's, I said earlier that it's guaranteed a vet goes home next week, but isn't that not the case?
No, because that a vet goes in
next week, not goes yes. home. Okay. Yeah. Cause then as I was playing this out, like who would be going in? I'm like, wait, they can still pick two rookies to go against the vet rookie team. I'm just dumb. Ugh. Yeah. So there still could be a possibility two rookies go home next week.
If like, I'm trying to even think like if, our only hope, I feel like, is Priscilla winning this challenge and refusing to throw in two rookies as like the, you know, the two elimination picks there, because like, is every other rookie just going along with throwing in two more rookies against whatever vet rookie pair gets voted in next week?
Yeah, this is tough. Because so in this scenario, I'm sticking with this, Emmanuel and Casey. I feel like you're right that Ashley's probably the pick there, because who cares about Ed? No offense to Ed. And Ashley, like you said, if this is going to be the plan to get out winners, Casey is like closer to Amber there. And I mean, just like looking at it, it could be any of these teams, like say CT and Emmy won again. I don't think that. Well, that's probably going to be the scenario where Ashley is good.
Sure.
Like, does CT want to throw in?
Even if CT wins, like Ashley could be the house vote. And then what? He'll throw like, Bettina and Jeremiah, or Bettina and Logan, to like give them a good chance of coming back. But like Ashley feels pretty inevitable as one of the next couple house votes, as long as she is with a rookie, especially. Like, Casey and Amber have all of a sudden like patch things up, and we're actually talking. Like Casey's like, Amber, don't go in. It's like, weren't you just talking about how it would be great if she went home? So like, I don't know why you're talking her out of it now. But like, even more than that, like Amber's with Devin. Devin is not getting voted in at any point soon. So again, by the house vote. So like, Ashley is a name that I can see coming up. As far as like the pairs are set up now, I think she's just like by far and away the most likely to be going in.
Well, if we're talking about potentially having vets turning, or the non-winning vets, people who have not yet won a challenge, if there's potential that they could turn on CT, we could see CT and Emmy as a house vote, but that'd be wild.
That's like the next one. I feel like Ashley is the most obvious, and then CT right after that. Like, and then what? Like Tori and Jeremiah like coming up. Like, it's just like Nani is well insulated, Casey's well insulated, Josh is not getting voted in, Devin's not getting voted in. Like, I don't think you're taking a shot at Kyle and Amanda. So it feels like a couple of these rookie vet teams are looking very likely to be targets coming up.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's probably not the best podcasting for me to sit here and be looking at this chart up and down and, trying to analyze different ways that this could go, because all the thinking happens like as I'm doing it. And then it's just like, again, not good podcasting. So that's fine. We can leave that there. And I don't know. We'll continue this discussion on Twitter or the DMs if anybody out there wants to continue playing this guessing game. But that's where we are at the end of episode 8.
That is where we are. Let me see. Did you see? I'm trying to think of what I've seen on social media. I know Berna did a interview with Entertainment Weekly where she talked about how she was just crying for many weeks because her and Nelson were so in love that they thought they were going to be together forever.
No, I haven't seen or heard about this one, but doesn't surprise me.
This is wild. Like, it is like, remember a couple weeks ago when Nelson and Ashley were an item that came into this house?
Yes, I do.
Why? And then like all of a sudden Nelson and Berna are planning their lives together, only to shortly realize thereafter that they're different people outside of the house and aren't a good couple whatsoever. So short-lived like soulmates between the two of them.
Well, maybe they'll rekindle this on season 38, because we know that Nelson will be there and Berna has a good chance. So
yeah, that makes sense. I'm trying to even see what else I have, but
let's go with the big news. I mean, the big one of the week that, you know, I try not to talk about this individual when they're not on the sheet on the season, but you know, sometimes you have to. News headlines and everything this week, legitimate headlines I saw, that we have lost a challenge couple. They have been separated by cheating that has taken place by one Johnny B Star Nanas. That's how we're gonna talk about. Bananas and Morgan no longer together because Banana sucks, and we already knew that. So I'm very sorry to Morgan that happened to her. Also very happy that Morgan is now going to be able to move on to find somebody that's not Johnny Bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently Johnny, like, on this week's episode is like, I'm back on the market of his podcast. I think it was in a joking way, but like also like, too soon. Like, it has been like an open secret that Bananas would cheat on basically every partner that he ever had on the challenges, and they would edit around it, slash he would do it like when they weren't filming. So it's not surprising. I know that people have been, you know, criticizing both sides here, but just like, I'm not upset that it's over, to be honest. So I don't know. I don't think we see Morgan back on the challenge, but I do love a petty move, so we'll see.
I never really, because obviously I, you know, what I see and what I can see is the be all end all of like if a relationship is going to last. But I never really saw it being like endgame for that too. Like I would have been very surprised if an article ever showed up on our feeds being like the challenges, Johnny Bananas and Morgan engaged. Obviously if a relationship is going to end, you would hope that it would end on just, you know, different terms than this. The fact that, you know, Morgan is now in the situation, but yeah, that's the headline of the week, and screw that guy, as has always been the case. So I don't really have a whole lot else to say about the matter.
Yeah, that's that. The only other thing, I was just looking at the confessional count of the season. Where would you guess that Priscilla is in terms of people that are still on the show?
I think I may be spoiled on this answer. I feel like I think I saw she was number one.
No, actually, not quite. She is one behind the shared first place of Devin, Emmy, and Tori. She is in fourth place. Okay, so
I knew that, but I saw her like towards the top of the list.
Yeah, but by only one confessional, like above CT, above Nelson, above Ashley, like Priscilla, look at you. All for this one move, which we didn't discuss it, but was kind of inevitable. The only option that she could have picked to ensure a rookie team was formed was she had to pick exactly Corey and screw over her friend Bettina. So this was kind of always happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like that, you know what, we dramatized it. And if she was going to have to do this anyway, like went ahead and picked Petty. So mm-hmm. I support it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I've definitely noticed Priscilla as far as confessionals go, like all season long. Like they've definitely given her a lot of narrating to do, which has been like, you know, a different kind of narrator that they've used, because she hasn't really stood out to me in any way of being like, oh my God, like she is so great in the confessionals, mm-hmm. but like she's perfectly fine in there. Like she's not like, you know, giving Nelson confessionals where you're like, this is actively not good. So she's just been like a steady presence in there, you know, explaining through, I guess, eight episodes so far, because she has, you know, obviously this episode gave that a big boost, but I have noticed all throughout that she's been pretty present.
Mm-hmm. I would argue, first of all, Nelson confessionals are so bad they're good, but that also I would say while Priscilla is not like a like 10 out of 10 character, and I was kind of confused why they cast her on the season, I think that she is always like interesting when she's in confessionals, where there are other people that like a Jeremiah that even though you know, the content is not really there for either of them, Jeremiah bores me and Priscilla does not, so that is a plus. I think that she is a better storyteller, so not hating the fact that she has been given so much screen time.
Speaking of Priscilla's original show Love Island, I did start today.
Ugh. A bad decision.
I'm four episodes in already, and you know how fast I watch some of these shows, so just like I watched on Survivor AU, watching that at a super fast speed, I am at 2x on Love Island US, 2.5 when they're doing a stupid challenge, and I'm flying through it, so I'm gonna be done by like a week from today, I'm sure.
Hey, bump it up. 4X is calling. So.
Whoa, I can't understand that.
I'm curious to hear your opinions as you go. But I have heard Love Island UK is where it's at in terms of always. But also people were not thinking that was going to be the case this year. And it obviously turned out to be.
Well, I will be watching both. So don't worry about that. So far, big Will guy. But that's just, you know.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay, so that's that. Also, you know, coming off of a society game, where did I get that? Squid Game binge. So I'm all wrapped up in different TV shows right now.
Ooh, which challenger would do the best on Squid Game?
Oh, I really didn't like this show. No, I'm just kidding. I really did like the show, actually, a lot. But I don't like thinking about it because it's just brutal.
It is brutal.
It's so wild. Like it's bringing me back to like when I watched The Hunger Games for the first time, and it's like I think the obsession that I had with it from then was like of just looking at this and being like, wow, like this is so insane and like so like oh my God, like just the reaction that I had watching it of just like not believing what I was watching is kind of where I'm at again here with this show. And this show is probably even more intense.
It's which darker just, for sure.
It's darker, but more colorful. It's just, it doesn't make any sense, but, what was the question? Which challenger would do best?
Yeah.
I don't know who is, let's go with, not Fessy. Looking up and down the list. The women on, well, I don't want to spoil anything. so Emmanuel.
Ooh, Emmanuel. That's, I think that's a good pick. I think that's a really good pick. I feel like, maybe we don't have all of the information to be super confident. I think CT is also someone who I'm putting a lot of money on, but yeah, similar.
You just got to jump across the bridge and try to figure out like which step. So yeah, there's a puzzle at the end. I'll be fine.
We've seen he will screw anyone over to win. So I think CT will do just fine.
Oh my God, that bridge was terrifying.
Not my favorite episode.
I'm not going to keep talking about that. So nobody, you know, gets spoiled. Watch that if you want to watch that. Watch Love Island if you want to watch Love Island. Watch whatever you want to watch except for this episode of The Challenge because it was kind of boring. Anything else?
No, that's it. Interested to see if it is really as easy as Ashley getting voted in next week or what ultimately breaks down with this Vet Alliance.
Draft update. I definitely am still in the lead. I still need to correct the points, but I did lose Berna this week, so that sucks. And who else lost somebody? Colin lost Huey, which... Props to him for his last pick, making it this long. Of the last picks in the draft, he had his longest. So there goes Huey.
I'm still fine with my last pick, I think.
Tracy?
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
Real star.
Shout out to Tracy in episode 8 of the Challenge season 37 podcast. And then I believe I heard that we are still leading the way in the must-lose draft. So I haven't seen the chart, but I believe we are still doing okay.
Nice, nice. Fingers crossed that keeps going. I'm constantly, I'm very invested in that draft because I feel like I may not have as great of a chance in our draft over here.
And I do love the storyline of how Emmy was the first pick by Allie again after the Amber pick. So there's got to be a little bit in all of us that's rooting for an Emmy win this season for I guess, multiple reasons.
It's like 10th on the reasons that I am rooting for an Emmy win, but like a lot of it is rooting for an Emmy win from me.
Yes. So that is the quick update on the drafts. Anything else from you for this week of the challenge?
No. Again, just... interested to see how it plays out next week.
All right, same here. Anything else going on in your world? Anything recent appearances on anything?
What's going on in my world? No, anything that I'm doing will be on Twitter at Brian_Scally or TikTok is okay too. Same handle at Brian_Scally over there. So yeah, it's been an interesting venture
on TikTok.
Yeah, you know, pretty basic. It's a good time. I way too much time on it, but it's a good time.
All right. Well, I have nothing to plug, so I'll also plug Scally's TikTok. Everybody go check out those. But you can check out my tweets. Scally's tweets are fine. Check out my tweets.
There we go.
At Matt Liguori. Follow Scally on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I think he already said that, but just in case he didn't. And otherwise, we will be back next week with, of course, more coverage of the challenge. Spies, lies, and allies. We'll see if we lose a vet or not. Who knows? But until then, take care.